wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say.
You are listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands On Community Radio 90.7 FM. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story with the prison system, or you have ideas for the program, or you would like to get involved, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534.
I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if out my heart I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know, yeah. And I'd sing, sing, 'cause I know how it feels. I know how it feels to be free. Yeah, yeah, I know how it feels. Yes, I know how it feels. How it feels to be free.
Welcome everyone to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. My name is Jalal Sabor. I'm your host today. I'm also a local farmer and organizer and member of the Prison Voices Project. So today we have a big show. There's a lot to get into. I'm going to try to get through all of it. As everyone knows, there's been tons of protests in the city and throughout the country. So I kind of want to highlight some of those things, but also get into some different stories within that. When I was in the city, there were a lot of people talking about how the one person indicted in the Eric Garner case is the person that shot the video, Ramsey Ortiz. His wife, actually, Chrissy Ortiz, did an interview on Pix 11. So I want to play a clip of that and talk about that a little bit, and some of the other killings that have happened. One is Tamir Rice in Cleveland. He was the 11-year-old that was shot with a toy gun. His mom just did a press conference, so I want everyone to hear what she had to say. Also go into some other issues in prison around the Dallas Six. Mumia from the Prison Radio Project did a clip around that, so I'm going to play that and talk about that, and then just go into some upcoming events. So yeah, let's get started. The one thing I want to really point out around all the actions that have happened throughout the country and in New York, one that kind of stood out to me was the City Council of New York City. I think all the members of the City Council did an action last week where before they went to work, they were protesting in the streets. They actually did a dine in the middle of the streets. Some of the members had I Can't Breathe shirts on. They all were screaming, hands up, don't shoot, and doing a lot of tactics that protesters around the country have been using. And I think that just stood out to me because of the fact that they were city council members, and it kind of gave some credit and, you know, some value to the work that people have been doing. And Yeah, I think it means a lot when the City Council of New York City is using the same tactics that protesters are using. One thing that they kind of were trying to highlight was this this policy, the Right to Know Act. One of the city council members, Antonio Renuso, was talking to the Huffington Post around. He's a lead sponsor to the Right to Know Act. And I think some of the protests that the city council was doing to make sure that NYPD officers identify themselves when stopping a person on the street, explaining the reason why they're stopping them. Just making sure that police officers, when they stop someone, that they inform folks of their constitutional rights. I think this bill is coming behind a lot of the stop and frisk actions that have been going on around the country, and particularly in New York City. So I applaud the city council for, you know, getting out in the streets with us and, you know, fighting for the rights of the people. Before we get into it, I'm going to take a quick break and get into some Michael Jackson, They Don't Care About Us. Welcome back to Prison Voices Project on WGXC. I'm your host, Jalal Sabor. That was Michael Jackson's They Don't Care About Us. We, like I said, this show today is about highlighting some of the issues that have been going on around the protest and the police killings of Eric Garner and Michael Brown. I want to get into this clip of Christy Ortiz on Pix 11. She's talking about how her husband, Ramsey Ortiz, the person who shot the video of Eric Garner getting choke told by the police, just talking about what they've been going through since the killing of Eric Garner and how the police have been harassing him.
The head of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association unloaded on Mayor Bill de Blasio and Reverend Al Sharpton, sharply criticizing both men over the Eric Garner chokehold incident.
Yeah, PBA President Patrick Lynch yesterday that a chokehold was not the cause of Garner's death while in police custody last month. Lynch also responded to the recent criticism surrounding the NYPD and questioned the attention Sharpton has received.
They're being put on a pedestal while police officers are being knocked down off that step.
The best way to make police stop using illegal chokeholds is to perp walk one of them that did.
Now, Sharpton said Lynch shouldn't try to make an issue of him. Police tried to arrest Garner last month during the incident. Well, you see it here. One of the officers placed Garner in a chokehold. Garner died shortly afterwards.
Well, Ramsey Orta filmed that video that sparked the city and the outrage that continued. He is now behind bars.
Yeah, he was arrested last Saturday, and he believes that he was set up by police.
Like I've told my lawyer, this video has happened. They've been harassing me. They've been following me. They've been sitting in front of my house. They've been going to my wife's job.
Are those trumped up charges, or is that the truth? Joining us this morning is Ramsey Orta's wife, Christy Orta, sitting down for her first interview, and we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's get right to it. Do you believe your husband was set up, and why exactly? I mean, you point to exactly why you think he was.
It's most definite. If you look at the timing, right after they rule it a homicide, they allegedly find him with a weapon, which he wasn't found in possession of. This other person was. But yet they're still charging him with possession of a weapon.
Do you know this other person personally, the 17-year-old?
Not personally. I've seen her a few times. He didn't know her personally. We know her from the neighborhood. Okay. I've seen her a few times. He's spoken to her more than I have.
Can I talk to you about the video, first of all? The video, when he shot that video, did he know that it was going to be such a lightning rod that it has
been? No, he didn't. He did it because he was tired of what they were doing to him, what they were doing to other people over there. It's not a good neighborhood, it's not. But the way the police were handling things, they were taking advantage. They were treating us, or civilians, period. Like, they didn't matter. Like, they can just be above anything and just mistreat
you. So you're saying that he had been mistreated in the past.
Yes.
So when he saw the situation transpire with Mr. Garner,
yes,
he decided to take out his cell phone video and shoot
yes.
it. But
yes.
he didn't know what had happened next would lead to Mr.
To all of this.
Right.
No, he didn't. He had no idea. His thing was he didn't know his friend was going to die. Like,
so he knew Eric.
He knew Eric. And he didn't know this man was going to die. He didn't know it was going to go this far. He just said, you know, this has to come to an end. There has to be some type of repercussions for the actions of them coming over here and beating people. So he's recording and saying, here they go, harassing an innocent man again. So he's recording, and it just blew up out of proportion. And for this man to say it's not a chokehold, the video shows itself that he held him in a chokehold. I don't understand what's wrong with that man.
Yeah, and you're alleging now, and he's alleging, that police are essentially doing this again, going after an innocent person with him. So why don't you take us to Saturday and tell us exactly what happened from the beginning. Why did he go out that night?
I sent him out.
Okay.
For what? I sent him to the store for some Advil PMs and a U-Haul. Because
okay.
I'm having back pains, and I wanted to sleep without being in pain. So I sent him to the store, and then, I mean, I wasn't walking with him, but I called him, and I told him, babe, where you at? Yeah. He said, I'm on my way home right now.
But he had to know since the video was released, because he did allege a few times in the conversations that he's had with other news organizations that he was being followed by the police.
Oh,
so he had to know that if he did something wrong, because your husband, he does have a long rap sheet.
He does, but that's for past things that he basically took plea deals for, not to have to go through an extensive court hearing. Mm-hmm. So, and I told him, you know, don't keep copping out to things mm-hmm. if you didn't do them. Fight it through. Mm-hmm. But when you're in that situation and you're being forced and you feel like, I just want to be home, you say, whatever, let me just take this so I can be home. So now, as I was telling
Meaning copping plea deals.
So I told him, listen, you're not doing that with this. We're going to fight it all the way through because it's not fair. It's not fair. And of course, he's not going to carry something on him or pass it out in public, knowing he's in the spotlight. It makes no sense whatsoever.
But let's go back a second, because you talk about these plea deals. I mean, are you trying to say that your husband has not done any of these things that he's been accused of? Because he was arrested, the prosecutors went out and they said, look, arrested 26 times as an adult, 2 felony convictions, 6 misdemeanor convictions. He's 22 years old. Has he done none of that?
Well, I can't say he hasn't done any of it. I mean, there's been situations that led to this. What I'm saying is, you know, he doesn't make the best choices. Sometimes you pick wrong friends, like he did this time. Being around this chick and she had something on her and him not knowing so got him arrested for possession. And it's things like that. You understand? It's like he's not a perfect person and we've all made mistakes. But, you know, him being next to someone and not knowing what she has on her and still being blamed for it is ridiculous.
I think what he's alleging, the fact that he's saying that he's being followed by the NYPD, that the NYPD is harassing, that the NYPD,
definitely,
since the release of this video, has been on his tail.
Oh, yes.
I think that's 4
o'clock in the morning, we're laying down, and my whole room lights up. And I'm like, what is that? And we look out the window, it's a police car. They're driving by and put the spotlight into my window. What was that for?
Did the cops ever say anything to you? Did they ever say anything to your husband saying this is a direct result as to the video that you gave?
They told him, you know, because me and my husband, well, we spoke a few times. He told me, he said, when they arrested him, they said, they laughed at him, basically, isn't karma, like, well, yeah. Excuse my French, but, you know, they basically came out and told him this. And he said, so what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Because we've been talking about it all morning long. I know you've said you cannot talk about what happened last night. You said, you know, you've been advised you cannot speak about last night. What we have reported on the air that you were arrested last night. So, but I want to ask you personally, take that away from this. Take what happened to your husband away from this. Take all the, go back a month, go back 2 months. How do you feel about the police in general?
Not all of them are the same. I cannot, you know, categorize every single officer off the actions of officers who let their power get to their head. But what I am saying is that from what I've seen in Staten Island, there's been plenty of blue and white uniform officers who abuse their power and take it into their own hands. And I don't think that it's right. It's not right, because you're supposed to protect and serve. We're supposed to feel safe with you. If we do not feel safe with you and you're in the power of authority, then who's going to help us? Who do we turn to?
What can you tell us about the arrest last night? Can you tell us anything?
I can't say anything about it. You know, I've been advised, but I've been wanting to say something about, you know, I don't know his name, but the one that was saying criminals like Ramsey who carry illegal firearms, mm-hmm. he benefited the most. What did he benefit out of? What did he get out of all of this? Nothing but harassment and now another case. You know, it's ridiculous. He says he's demonizing the good work of the NYPD. It's on video. How is he demonizing anything? How you're saying that the good work of the police, so you're trying to tell me him choking out Eric Garner was good work? Because that's basically what we're talking about. And now they're trying to silence Ramsey. They're trying to, you know, fight Sharpton, trying to, anybody who's speaking on behalf of it and trying to say they're trying to get something out of it. You know, just face it. They did wrong actions, and just as anyone else should be prosecuted, so should they. Just because they're in the power of authority doesn't mean that they shouldn't be prosecuted for their actions. Everyone's still a human being, and the law lies. And you sat there on video and choked this man out till he died. And he told you he cannot breathe. And you continued. And not only did you continue, everyone else was on top of him. Not only that, once he was non-responsive, cops are trained to resuscitate. Why didn't they? Why did you leave the cuffs on? Why, when the EMTs got there, they didn't uncuff him and try to resuscitate him? No, they left him there, put him on the stretcher. He was already gone.
Let me ask you, you had to have a lot of backlash in regards to what happened with the video, in regards to what's happened to your husband. Have you felt the backlash? Was your arrest last night part of the backlash of what's going on? Do you feel that way? Do you feel you're being targeted as well?
Yes. Yes.
So that's all you can say about the arrest. That you feel like all of this,
it's all a domino effect, basically. Yes.
Started with that video.
There's times where I sit here and I'm like, you know, I wish none of this ever happened. Not to Eric, not to his poor family. They lost him. Not to my husband. Now, my thing is, you know, I want to help my husband deeply. And everyone who was running to him, oh, you're a hero, less this, less that, you know, oh, we can help you with this, we can help you. They didn't help him with anything. So now my thing is, I'm asking for them to help him now, for people to stand by him, you know, because it's not fair. It's not fair at all. And, you know, they're going to sit there and try to bash him. They're going to try to make him look like he's, you know, incredible. But there's nothing to be incredible. The video is there. The video speaks for itself. The people have their own eyes. They can see what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and no matter how much you cover it or how much you want to change it, it is what it is. And your actions should be paid for.
Chrissy, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Can I give my email? Because I would like, if anyone has donations to try to put up for bid, they can email me and we'll arrange how to get donations.
We'll put it on
Ramsey.
Yeah. How's that? We'll put it online so people can go there and find it, okay?
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Okay. Well, can I say it real
quick? Go ahead.
It's OrtizChrissy@yahoo.com.
Okay.
It's OrtizChrissy@yahoo.com. Anyone who's willing to help him, you know, it's greatly appreciated and needed. They can't silence this situation. They want everybody to forget what happened, and it's not going to happen. And I'll personally make sure that it's not going to happen. They cannot ruin too many lives, and you can't wait till someone dies to try to help them or make things right.
All right, Chrissy, thank you again for coming in. And we're going to have that on our website. We're going to have more information about this on our website. This is one of these things. The community is coming together. The community is talking about this, and we're trying to get answers here. I mean, we're trying to get where we need to go in this. Thank you again.
I appreciate it.
Welcome back to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. My name is Jalal, your host. That was Chrissy Orta. She's the wife of Ramsey Orta, the person that shot the video of Eric Gardner getting chokehold by the Staten Island police. I wanted to play that clip because I felt like it was really important to hear the side of you know, the people that have been trying to prove the police wrong. I think it just highlights what's wrong with the system, how if you're trying to police the police, they attack you. They use their power and their influence to make your life uncomfortable. And I think that's like the hidden problem of like what, like a rapist, you know, people don't report rapists because they feel like they don't have power. You know, I think it's the same thing with the police. People don't feel like they have power to report police misconduct because of the abuse that goes on once you try to report them. So I appreciate Chrissy Orta and Ramsey Orta for, you know, documenting and telling their story, and please support them if you can. So I want to take a break real quick and play KRS One BDP, Sound of the Police.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. Stand clear. Done, man, atop. You can't stand where I stand. You can't walk where I walk. Watch out. We run New York. Policeman come. We bust him off the park. I know this for a fact. You don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack. Will you be doing that? I'd rather say see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be your officer, your wicked overseer. Your hot shot, you wanna get cops and be a savior. First show a little respect, change your behavior. Change your attitude, change your plan. There could never really be justice or stolen land. Are you really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you wanna follow me. Your laws are minimal.
Welcome back to Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. That was KRS-One, BDP, Sound of the Police. Next, I want to play a clip of Tamir Rice's mother, Samira Rice. There's two clips. CNN did a kind of reporting of what happened and talk to her a little bit, and then I want to just play the clip by Samira Rice, her press conference by itself, and then talk about that a little bit.
At a news conference, the mother of the 12-year-old shot and killed by Cleveland police was asked for what she wants.
To answer your question, I'm actually looking for a conviction.
Speaking publicly for the first time, Samaria Rice says as her son Tamir lay dying, she tried desperately to get to him, only to be stopped by police.
As I was trying to get through to my son, the police told me to calm down or they will put me in the back of the police car. And so, of course, I calmed down.
Rice says police already handcuffed and detained a 14-year-old daughter who also had tried to reach her wounded brother. Police declined to comment on the family's allegations. How police acted after last month's shooting, the family says, only compounded their pain and suffering over the loss of their son, who was shot carrying a toy gun in a public park just yards from his home. A 911 call reported someone with a gun in the park and that they believed the gun was probably fake. But the fake part appears to have been left out of police communications to the responding officers. The gun was plastic. Rice was black. The officer who shot him is white. And in light of grand jury decisions not to indict officers in Missouri and New York, the family's new attorney, Ben Crump, says there are concerns here.
The family is very distrustful of whether local authorities will indict a police officer, even though it is very clear, very transparent, that several things were done inappropriately.
The tragedy is all captured on security cam video at the park. It shows the 12-year-old by himself on a snowy day playing with and pointing the gun. Then a police car speeds up within feet of Rice. And within seconds, two officers jump out, and the closest to Rice opens fire, hitting him at least once. He died the following day. Many are shocked at how quickly it all happens and say police, instead of de-escalating the situation with their tactics, intensified it. Critics say it's another case of police acting too aggressively, too fast, resulting in a tragedy all too familiar.
Aaron, the authorities say that the two officers involved are currently on paid administrative leave. That's while the Cleveland police investigate the situation. That investigation could take until February or March. Then it's expected to be handed over to the prosecutor's office and eventually a grand jury. It should be pointed out the father of one of the officers who opened fire says that his son didn't know the boy was only 12 and didn't know the gun was fake. Critics say had they just slowed their response and been more careful, they might have known both.
My name is Samaria Rice, and on November 22nd, about 3:30 p.m., reminding you that I stay right across the street from the recreation center. Two little boys came and knocked on my door and said, "The police just shot your son twice in the stomach." So my 16-year-old son stormed out the door and I was right after him. When I arrived on the scene, I seen my son, the 16-year-old, off to the side with the police and they was putting him in the police car. I noticed my son laying down on the ground and I went charging and yelling and everything at the police because they wouldn't let me through. And then I seen my daughter in the back of the police car. The same car that the shooter got out of. As I was trying to get through to my son, the police told me to calm down or they will put me in the back of the police car. And again, I just noticed them, they wasn't doing anything. My daughter was screaming for me and my son, I really couldn't get to him because he was a little bit across the walkway, my 16-year-old. So after I couldn't get to them and they told me to calm down, they gave me an ultimatum of whether I stay with the 14-year-old or do I go with the 12-year-old. This is what they told me. So of course I went with the 12-year-old and they made me sit in the front of the ambulance truck like I was a passenger. So when my daughter arrived at the hospital, she came to me and told me that somebody came and told her in the wreck that your brother was shot and she came running for him, running. And She told me that the police tackled her and put her in handcuffs. I didn't even know she was in handcuffs. I knew she was crying for me, but I couldn't see her hands. And this is what she told me, that she was in handcuffs in the back of the car. They also questioned her with no adult around. And I guess that's it.
Ms. Rice, what is a mom, what went through your mind when those kids knocked on your door and when you got to this scene?
I really thought they was playing, like joking around. But I seen the seriousness in their face and it scared me. Because my child doesn't do things like that. I don't allow that type of toy in my house around him, period.
Do you know where he got that from, that toy?
A friend, one of his little friends he played with.
What can you tell us about Tamir? What would you like us to remember about
Tamir? Tamir was a bright child. He had a promising future. And he was very talented in all sports, soccer, basketball, football. He played drums, he drew, he played video games, he's a great swimmer. The community loved him, he was a helper at the school and at the rec. And, you know, everybody just loved him.
Welcome back to Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. That was the mother of Tamir Rice, Samari Rice, in her press conference. Not too long ago, talking about the killing of her son, the harassment that she got by the police, and the arrest of her 16-year-old daughter, or her 14-year-old daughter, sorry. I think one thing that stood out was the fact that the police officer thought Tamir was 20 years old. And in fact that he was 12 years old. One of my members in the Prison Voices Project, he's going to expand on that. Karenga is going to just expand on some of the thoughts that he has around black bodies and the criminalization of black bodies.
My initial reaction to the senseless murder of Tamir Rice is connected to a recent article in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology entitled "The Essence of Innocence: Consequences of Dehumanizing Black Children." In this article, the authors are extremely clear in pointing out that black boys as young as 10 may not be viewed in the same light of childhood innocence as their white peers, but instead are more likely to be mistaken as older, be perceived as guilty, and face police violence if accused of a crime. According to the article, and I quote, "Children in most societies are considered to be a distinct group with characteristics such as innocence and the need for protection. Our research found that black boys can be seen as responsible for their actions at an age when white boys still benefit from the assumption that children are essentially innocent," end quote. The murder of Tamir Rice speaks to an argument and an idea that myself and others have been advancing around black criminalization, or stated differently, the criminalization of blackness. The mere fact that we have a 12-year-old young boy holding a toy gun, and he is then senselessly murdered, speaks to the fact that this young boy was seen as a threat, and therefore not seen as a young boy holding a toy gun, but instead seen as a potential adult murderer. And now a little on the Dallas Six. at scidallas6.blogspot.com under the question, "Who are the Dalek Six?" This is what we find. At SCI Dallas in Pennsylvania, after a series of abuses at the hands of corrections officials, some prisoners housed in the solitary confinement unit decided they had enough and decided to stage a protest in response to the inhumane conditions and mistreatment of prisoners. Each prisoner involved in the protest is now collectively referred to as the Dallas Six. On April 28, 2010, one prisoner by the name of Isaac Sanchez was subjected to a planned attack by the restrictive housing unit staff, forcibly removed from his cell, and brutally beaten by officers in Star Wars uniforms, aka riot gear. Prisoner Sanchez was subject to this attack as a result of speaking out against the abuses at Dallas Prison on behalf of his fellow comrades. After a series of abuses, official misconduct, and outright administrative corruption, six prisoners at SCI Dallas decided it was time to do something about the inhumane conditions immediately before another prisoner dies or is brutally harmed. As revealed in the Human Rights Report, there has been a long policy within the prison walls of Dallas and the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections to operate a corrupt administration under an iron wall of silence. Under this iron wall or code of silence, SCI Dallas, Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, District Attorney's Office, Attorney General's Office, as well as the Pennsylvania State Police, operates in participation and conjunction with one another to cover up crimes and misconduct by state offices by overlooking video footage of officers caught on videotape committing human rights violations. This is just a small introduction to the experiences of the Dallas Six. However, but for more commentary, we can move to the words of Mumia Abu-Jamal.
That was Mumia talking about the plight of the Dallas Six. This is Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. Next, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a song by Truth Universal, Every 36 Hours.
I've been saying this half throughout my life, like, you know, folks get killed by the police when they should be, I don't know, subdued or whatever, but they get killed. They end up getting killed, you know what I'm saying? Like, in New Orleans, we got, like, Corey Hort, Virgil Bro, when I was coming up, just recently, Justin Sip, Wendell Allen, got the cat out in the bay. Bluford just got killed, Oscar Grant, you know what I'm saying? And even Trayvon Martin, even though he wasn't killed by policemen, it's that same mentality, you know what I'm saying, the devaluation of people of color and poor people that allowed that to happen, you know what I'm saying? So, with that said,
Banks on the track.
This is a memorial dedicated to anybody murdered by the third Justin Sip. When the law murdered by self deputized.
The power to kill a person got exercised by somebody who probably wasn't deputized. If your skin black, then oh my God, you in deep like Slumdog meeting Amitabh. Not only have to worry about the pigs, but they up the ante. Now you got to watch out for these superhero vigilantes. What I'm saying is who pulled the trigger on the pistol. Relationship to the state was extrajudicial. By the state, the recognition not official. CIA, FBI, all those other initials. Without trial or due process, intention against international law and human rights conventions. It goes without mention, overdue for intervention. Won't stop till we stress this injustice. Prevention. Straight up though, I'ma give you the rundown. Every 36 hours somebody black gunned down.
Yeah, it's kinda still the same. Ain't the pig but black life lost. Yeah, it's kinda still the same.
Racial profiling, surveillance, state tactics vary. African descendants in the U.S. have no sanctuary. Donna, take it to the streets, but start with a pen. So that Sanford incident don't happen again. Your son, daughter, niece, nephew, it could happen to you. Only so much that petition than this rapping could do. It's true, we need more to stop oppressive degradation. Self-defense and demanding certain legislation. Not sleeping with the enemy, exhausting avenues. As our brother George Jackson would have had us do. Movement as a man. And if they don't respond, stuff the flag in your Molotov and burn that sucker down.
still the same. Still watching pigs, but look, it's kinda still the same. On the sidelines, wondering what's all the fuss. Getting balls, Trayvon Martin, it's all of us. Straight up though, I'ma give you the rundown. Every 36 hours, somebody black gunned down. Report on black people executed what I'm citing. From 1-1-12 to the time of this writing. 110 black women and men blazed on. Sad to say it ain't just Zimmerman and Trayvon. Outside the locales, the incidents are seldom seen. Lacking coverage from the corporate media machine. Racist food of these killings tend to get diluted. Every 36 hours a black person's executed. It's kinda still the same. Black life undervalued. It's kinda still the same.
Justice
life still lost.
Wendell Allen.
It's kinda still the same.
Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, Ayanna Jones, Amadou Diallo, Corey Horton, Virgil Broke. The list goes on and on. On and 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 on and
banks on the track.
Nah, it's kinda still the same.
MXG, M, Malcolm X, Grassroots.
It's kinda still the same.
You just finished listening to Truth Universal's track entitled Every 36 Hours, the same exact title of a report that came out in 2013 by the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. Every 36 Hours is also a hip-hop / spoken word project that was put together by Malcolm X Grassroots Movement and New Africa Entertainment to support and promote the No More Trayvon Martin's campaign, demanding a national plan of action for racial justice and self-determination. Every 36 hours. The most recent data from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement states, in fact, that it is not every 36 hours that a black person is killed by security forces, but it is in fact every 28 hours that a black person is killed by police force.
We're about to close out the show. Thank you for listening. We want to push everyone to kind of, you know, take all the information around the police killings every 28 hours. You know, the abuse of police, the abuse of prisoners, and actually just get out there and mobilize. If you're not in an organization, join an organization. There's plenty of organizations doing good work around here. In Hudson, there's Stanley B. Keith Social Justice Center, Kite's Nest is Teaching the Babies. In Albany, there's Capital Area for Mass Incarceration, the Social Justice Center in Albany. And I just went to a meeting in Kingston with Ending New Jim Crow Action Network. It's also called Engine. There's a group in Kingston and Poughkeepsie. I actually think next weekend Engine in Kingston has a police forum. I think it's Tuesday, December 16th in Kingston at 8 Home Street, Kingston, New York. New Progressive Church. If you want to attend the police forum, they're going to have the mayor, the DA, and the police chief there. If any other actions are going on, please reach out to us at Prison Voices Project. We have a Facebook, and we have prisonvoices@gmail.com. We're going to end the show with one more song. And my name is Jalal Sabor. Again, I'm your host. Thank you for listening. Till next time.
And I'm in denial. And it
don't take no x-ray to see right through my smile. I know I be on the go, and it ain't no drink out there that can numb my soul. Oh no, all we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off, man. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off, man. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free. Can you tell me why? Every time I step outside, I see my niggas die. I'm letting you know that it ain't no gun they make that can kill my soul. Oh no. Say, all we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free.
Man, it was like the officer's pulling him inside the car. He's trying to pull away. And at no time the officer said that he was gonna do anything until he pulled out his weapon. His weapon was drawn and he said, I'll shoot you or I'm gonna shoot. And in the same moment, the first shot went off. And we looked at him, he was shot and it was blood coming from him. And we took off running.
Are we all alone, fighting on our own? Please give me a chance. I don't wanna dance. Something's got me down. I will stand my ground. Don't just stand around. Don't just stand around.
As we took off running, I ducked and hid for my life because I was fearing for my life. And I hid by the first car that I saw. My friend, he kept running. And he told me to keep running because he feared for me too. So as he was running, the officer was trying to get out of the car. And once he got out the car, he pursued my friend, but his weapon was drawn. Now, he didn't see any weapon drawn at him or anything like that, us going for no weapon. His weapon was already drawn when he got out the car. He shot again, and once my friend felt that shot, he turned around and he put his hands in the earth, and he started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots, and my friend died.
All we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is break the chains off, man. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off, babe. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free.
You have been listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands-On Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story, or you have ideas for the program, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534. If you have feedback about what you have just heard, you can email us at feedback@wgxc.org. Thanks for listening.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. And I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if out my heart I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing. Say hey.